Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody, we're live tonight. Good to be with you again. And it's a Wednesday night. I'm going to be ministering to everybody tonight, so thank God for that. Get ready for that. And open up your hearts to the Lord for whatever he wants to share and download for you tonight. Kind of help you out a little bit along the way. Maybe a lot. Never know. So good to be here. If you or listening to another outlet, you can call in at 319-527-6027 and get in on a call with us right now. Get in on the show. And maybe the Lord will feed you something that you need. I'm sure he will if you call in by faith and get your eyes on him. He will do something. He's going to help you in some way or another. All right. So, yeah, most people don't understand the prophetic. It's not about getting a one-time word once a year. That, you know, it's about continually building you up. Like Paul told Timothy, he said that all the prophecies in 1 Timothy 1:18 said all the prophecies. Go back and look at all the prophecies you've gotten, and you know, meditate on them, and believe God to help you fight a good fight. So if it's that important, it must be important, right? And so it really is. It's really a lot more important than people want to say that it is. So we're thankful for that, that we're able to be a part of that, to build people up and to encourage people and to let people know that God loves them and that he can speak to them on a regular basis. You know, it's kind of like having a conversation with the Lord to a certain degree. You know, it's not exactly that, but when God gives gifts and you understand what those gifts are all about, you understand that that's exactly what's going on in a secondary way, right? It's not like Jesus is standing here talking to us, but he gives gifts, right? He gives gifts, and when we learn to move and flow in those gifts that he's given, what's the purpose of the gift? Well, to help his people, right? Because he's gone to the right hand of the Father, and he sent those gifts to be a blessing. And so it's just like the Lord, you know, if you're truly being flowing in the gift that God's given you, not just giving information of your own, then you're going to be talking to the Lord. God's going to be, you know, he's involved in your everyday life. Here's what people have a problem with, friend. People have a problem that God's involved in your everyday life right now. Not when we have the millennium, you know, only. You know, how's he going to be involved in our lives every day on that one? I don't know, because he's going to be in Jerusalem, I guess. Maybe he'll travel out. Come to Texas. I'm sure Texas will be his favorite state. Not, but we hope it would be, right? Yeah, so very interesting. And so God gave the gifts of the Spirit, and you hear about them all in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, and in other places, 12, 13. Different places, you read chapters 12, 13, and 14, you find out all kinds of things about the gifts of the Spirit. Ephesians 4 talks about that God gave some apostles, prophets, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, for the building up of the church, right? Building up of the church. That's what it's all about. It's for building up the church. So it's just like the Lord is here. He sent a gift. He's imparted, you know, supernaturally gifts to men to be used by God to so that Jesus, seeing that he's at the right hand of the Father, and also, let's look at that for a second. Let's go to Ephesians 4 just for a moment. I want to talk about this. I think we're going to talk about this for a moment. You never know what you're going to get when you come on PGN. You're just talking about all kinds of things. Ephesians 4 And let's go to the New King James Version, just kind of have a good in-between message to read from. Here's what I want to talk about a little bit. I think this is where we're going tonight. That, you know, Jesus Christ, now think about this. This is also for the future, right? He's training you and I, not just for now, to be used for now, right? Definitely for now, but he's training us for the future. The future for what? Because when Jesus comes back, what's he going to need us for? Well, because he's not going to be everywhere at once. He's a physical human being who's going to be, you know, in one spot at a time, except we will be communicated to by him, if you will, from the Father, by the Holy Spirit. So if he's going to communicate to us by the Holy Spirit, and each one of us are going to be him representing him, ambassadors of him in Texas or Florida or California, wherever you're at, you know, whatever state you're from, Colorado or, you know, New York, you know, Alabama, you know, I can name all the states, wherever you're at, you are going to be the representative and an ambassador of him for your state, right? He's going to be physically here. And so all the training we're going through is like he's physically at the right hand of the Father. He's not really here, right? He's not here physically, right? He's here spiritually with us. He sent the Holy Spirit. So what are we being trained for? What's the purpose of being trained? Well, in a sense, for the millennium. So when he rules and reigns, when we rule and reign with him, he's going to be in one physical place, right? And we're going to be, you know, those who have been trained, you know, and have learned how to flow with him and understand what I'm about to read to you here in Ephesians 4, that in the many gifts of the Spirit, that we're going to still be moving in the gifts of the Spirit. We're still going to be flowing in the Spirit of God. And we're going to be representing him and talking in his behalf, right? In other words, we'll be running. He gives, you know, like we see in the scripture where he, you know, gives people authority over 10 cities, you know, over 20 cities, over 5 cities, over 1 city. You know, so how are we going to rule? We're going to be talking to Jesus. You know, Jesus is going to have, you know, leaders all over the globe calling him at one time. You know, I'm just kind of trying to get a picture in your mind. So we're going to all be talking to him by phone at one time, and he's going to be like, okay, hang on, I got Texas online. Okay, hang on, I got New York online. Hang on, I got Africa online. Oh, hang on a second, I got Alabama online. Yeah, hang on a second, I got New York. Hey, hang on a second. So he's not going to be doing that, right? He's not going to be doing that. So how's all this going to work? Well, one way or the other, he's going to be flowing through the Spirit, and the same messages that him and the Father are involved in and how to do things and how to rule the earth, we're going to be getting the same messages here, right? Yeah, we'll be getting the same messages. So what are we being trained for now? What's all this training for? And what's going on? Why are we learning to flow in the Spirit? Why are we learning to use the gifts that God's given us, or the talents, you know, the money God's given us, or the talents God's given us, the abilities God's given us supernaturally, and use the gifts of the Spirit that he's given us? And we learn how to walk in them and use them. And that's why we have PGN. People can do have shows, you know, can do a show. They can learn how to flow. Even if you only have one person listening, or nobody listening, or 20 people, or 100 people listening to you, it doesn't really matter. You're learning. You're training. Training for what? What am I being trained for? I'm going to have a great ministry. Yeah, well, yeah. Ultimately, as we're trained and we learn how to flow with God now, it's going to be the same thing. He's right now not here on the earth. He's at the right hand of the Father. But when he comes back to earth, he's going to be one person, right? He can't talk to us on the phone or however, you know, can't talk to every leader. He'd be going 24 hours a day. He'd be wore out, probably something like that. So what's happening? We are going to be appointed over cities, over nations, over congregations or whatever, you know, because we've learned how to flow in the same Spirit that he had. Jesus said, I'm going to send the same Spirit that I've got. I'm going to send the same one. Why? Because he communicates in the same way. Every nation may need a little bit different kind of thing, but generally speaking, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So he's going to be one way or the other communicating righteousness, peace, and joy to people all over the globe. And he's going to have people who, you know, manage cities, governments, businesses. You know, so we're going to get a hold of this thing and start understanding that the millennium, really the training we're going through now, and people have died and gone to heaven. Those who learn to use the gifts of the Spirit and flow, and then they're in heaven and they're in the holding tank, you know, the beautiful, glorious holding tank, the most awesome, glorious holding tank of ever, the storage tank of God, you know, they're going to come back and get their bodies to behold. Remember all that? So when they come back and get their bodies, whatever they did in their bodies, while they were in their bodies, see, that's why it's important for you to do all these things in your body. Because most of the stuff you do, the rewards you get in that are going to be from what you've done, right? Now, I also think that in heaven, people are being trained, you know, for what? What's all that training? What do you want to? What are people going to be trained for in heaven? You hear different people say that, you know, they're being trained in heaven. Paul the Apostle is training people. You know, like I think Jesse Duplantis once said, I thought it was kind of cool. He said, he asked Jesse, what are they doing with my gospel down there? Like Jesse wanted to say, you don't want to know. You know, Jesse, you don't want to know, Paul. Like Paul didn't know, but, you know, so there's training going on for what? For what? So we can be used by God during the millennium. So all this stuff you're doing now, it's not just to get your great ministry going on so you can have a great reputation of being a servant of God and pleasing the Father. It's for further future, eventually, you know, when after the 1,000-year reign, eventually we're going to be, you know, still going to, God's still going to need people going to be managing and ruling and reigning. Yeah, it's going to be, it's, I don't think we have an idea of what it's really going to be like yet. But I think that as we get closer to that time, which is still kind of hard to comprehend it, right? I mean, you know, it's kind of hard, it's hard to believe, like, wow, if things weren't shaping up so much, you know, the global and all that, people still in the back of their mind going like, well, can it really be? Can it really be? Nothing wrong with thinking like that. Nothing wrong with that, right? Except the more we see the signs that are obvious that something is going on, you know, we're going to be convinced. And believe me, God understands. God understands, friend, that you and I are just like anybody else, that just like in the days of Jesus, when after all the whole Bible, the Old Testament was about Jesus, you know, the prophets and the law and all that was all about, you know, pointing to Jesus. And then finally one day he shows up, you know, it's kind of like, you can understand why it was so hard for people to believe. Can that really be him? Can that, I mean, we've been talking about him for hundreds of years. And is this really the Messiah? Can it, you know, it's the same thing going to be, you know, about what we're facing right now. And so here's the way they were convinced that it really was him back then, because of certain things that he did, miracles, his teaching, you know, he multiplied bread. He helped people. He showed what an unselfish leader that he is. And he said, what I do, you can do also. You know, he wasn't like holding all the glory to himself and all the power. He said, I'm going to what I do, you can do. I mean, what leader do you know does that, shares his wealth with you? As long as you learn how to use that wealth, the wealth of his glory, the wealth of his love, the wealth of the gifts, you know, as long as you learn how to use those gifts properly, you know, he'll trust you with anything. He said, man, what I do, you can do too. I mean, who talks like that? I mean, Jesus, our Jesus is amazing, y'all. He is amazing. And that's the kind of leader he's going to be when he comes back. You know, he's unselfish, totally the most unselfish person you've ever met. He's a real businessman. When it comes to business meaning, what have you done, you know, for these rewards? Because if you didn't do anything to get the rewards, you're not going to get them. It's not going to be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, just go ahead and give it to them anyway. That's not going to happen. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Why? Of using those gifts is that you're trained to use them. Like the one who he gave one talent, you know, he gave one 5 talents according to what he could handle, the Bible says. He gave one 2 talents according to what he could handle. In other words, he could handle 2, you know, and take it and multiply it. And the one who got 1, he could handle it. So he didn't give somebody something they couldn't handle. They just didn't do anything with it. You know, that's why we give people opportunity, like, you know, PGN, to ministry, to step out and do something. And there's a lot of ways you can step out and do things. But that's one of the reasons that we do that, is to give people a chance to work the gifts. What are you doing with your gifts? What are you doing with what God's given you? What are you doing with it? Are you sitting on it? Are you afraid you better hang on to all of it in case, you know, something goes wrong and I'll need all I got? You know, then you know what? You know what God's going to do with you? Because we have the compassionate, loving Savior. Then we have the Savior who's a businessman. Well, what'd you do with your stuff? Well, Lord, you know, I knew you were a hard man, and, you know, I just hid mine. God didn't want to lose it. He goes, you wicked. I mean, this is the businessman side of God, which most people are not very familiar with. They will be soon. They will be very soon, because they're going to be shocked that when they stand in his presence and he says, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, you know, I just, what? Well, I didn't do much with it, Lord, because I didn't know how to do it. Well, you didn't know how to do it. You didn't ask me how to do it. You didn't try to work it. You think I gave you those gifts and those talents and those abilities for you just because you didn't know how to handle them? You didn't know how to work them? No, I gave them to you because I know you do have the ability to do it, just like the one he gave the one talent to. He says he gave those talents to them according to their abilities. Let's look at that for a second. Hang on. Hang on a second. All right. Matthew 25, verse 14. Let's look at that just for a second. Talking about the businessman Jesus. One, most people don't really know that's part of him, but they're going to find out real soon. It's going to be shocking to them. They're going to go like, what? We didn't know you were this mean. He's going to say, you didn't read the Bible? You found out how tough I am in some things? Yeah. All right, so let's look at this, Matthew 25, verse 15. Go to the New King James Version for a little bit tonight. 25, verse 14. There's the versions. Parable of the talents. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man. Give me a second. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called for his servants and delivered his goods to them. His goods to them. Now, right there, very important. Verse 14, his goods to them. This is what I say with Matthew 25, verse 14. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. His goods to them. And to one, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his own ability. See right there, according to their own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he came to receive, and he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and doubled them. The one who had two did the same thing, but the one who had one dug in the ground, hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with him. And he said, the one who gave five, Lord, you delivered me five. I've gained five more besides. The Lord said, good and faithful servant. You'll be faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me two, and I gained two more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter to the joy of the Lord. Then when he came to the one who he gave it according to his talent, right? He didn't give him something he couldn't handle. And he had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. This is where people don't know about this side of the Lord as far as his business side. We're talking about the business side of God right now, and which is very much the side of him that you're going to find out. It's going to be shocking. Just like this guy was shocked, so are some of us going to be shocked. Hopefully none of us. Hopefully it's everybody else, but not us. But I don't know. Anyway, we'll find out, right? Then he had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew that you to be a hard man. Verse 24, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid. And went and hid your talent, remember it's the talent that he gave him, something he gave him, in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reaped where I did not sow, I gathered where I did not scatter seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers at least. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given to him who has, and he will have abundance. But him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. And he cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I don't know if that's really hell. I don't think he's talking about hell right there because he's talking about his own servants. But I think that, just like we talk about Paul, when Paul gave them over to Satan, you know, Christians, church people gave them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He cast them outside the walls of the protection of the church where there was much, you know, it's like hell, not literal hell, but, you know, spiritual hell, subject to the enemy and you know, it's just like weeping and gnashing of teeth, trouble all the time, no help, and yet here you are a believer, right? So, so as we get a hold of this stuff, we begin to realize that, you know, God is going to hold us accountable because as a businessman, he's not going to go, oh, you know, gee, I gave that to you, yeah, you hit it, you know, I'm a merciful kind of guy, you know, and of course he's merciful and of course he's gracious as Savior and Lord. But when it comes to business, when he gives you, once you're his servant, you know, once you're his child and he gives you things according to your abilities and it's his stuff, he's giving you and entrusting you with his stuff, right? His stuff. What are we doing with the stuff he gives us? Right. And so this has to do with everything, not just money. It has to do with the gifts he's given us, the abilities he's given us, you know. And when we take them and just don't do anything with them, we just sit around and wait and hang on, you know, then he comes back. And as a businessman, of course, he's going to say, yeah, you know, you're my beloved servant. You know, you're going to go to heaven eventually. Once you die, you go to heaven. But you know what? You know, you're going to, you know, be put in a place, you know, outside the walls of the protection of the church where all kinds of hell is going to go on, right? And because you haven't done, just like you did the man who, that young man in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians also talks about it, he cast him and he gave him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh for the saving of his soul, to save him, you know, to get him, you know, where he could live a productive life. Saving him wasn't salvation. Saving him was so he could live a productive life. Because as long as he was living in that fornication, that incest that he was living in, he wasn't going to be a productive person, right? Because it was sin causes you to be unproductive. It doesn't send you to hell. Not being born again sends you to hell, friend. Sinning just causes you to live in hell, you know, quote unquote, in the earth while you're here, right? If you keep persisting in it and don't get rid of it and don't deal with it, the way God says. So we've talked about that quite often, but I think that when you really need to get that in our thinking, that God is a businessman, when he comes back and he says, what'd you do with my stuff? He's not going to say, oh, you know, you didn't give like I told you to do. You didn't take care. You didn't get out there and multiply what I gave you. No, you did your own thing with it. You know, he's going to take away. In other words, you're not going to be ruling over anything. And it's not going to be good. So that's why we need to realize and get out of this false mode, this false teach, this thing that tells us, you know, he's just going to grace. And grace is definitely, he's full of grace. And his grace is for, you know, our salvation and for that he birthed us into his kingdom. And he's always trying to help us and work with us. And his forgiveness and love is there, you know. But when it comes to business with God, God is a completely, you're going to see a completely different part of God. Amen. And so you're going to have to see him as a shepherd and as a businessman, if you will. And so when you start seeing that part of him, friend, it changes your life. You start realizing, I need to do something with what God's given me and not just sit on it and do nothing, right? I need to be about my Father's business so that when we go into the future, you know, whether it be the thousand-year reign or whatever, or being used in the future in the Great Tribulation and being used by God, that we'll be able to be trusted because, you know, the godly leaders are going to be the ones that are going to know what you've been doing, with your stuff, and they found out you have been doing with your stuff, and you know, that you say you have, but in all truth, you haven't been, they're going to know that. They're going to know it. And they're going to say, no, we can't trust you. You know, you stay out there with those people. We need people that are faithful, people that will do, not be lazy. Like he called these servants, he called it one servant who had one talent, didn't do anything. He called him a lazy servant. And friend, this is exactly what it is. When laziness drives the issue, you think in the business world with God, not just business as business, like money business, but taking something that God has given you and working with it, you think he's just going to be like, oh, well, you know, you wasted all that stuff, no problem. No, he's going to hold you accountable for that, right? According to your rewards and according to the authority he gives you, according to, you know, your authority realm, you know, is developed basically by your how you handle what he's given you, right? Because he gave them, when they handled things right, when they doubled what he had given them, he gave them, you know, they were faithful with a little bit, so he made them, he made them ruler over many things, it says. Right, that's verse 21. And so same thing with the guy who had two talents. So this is what's going on, y'all. And if we don't wake up and realize this, and we're mixing all together the wonderful, precious Savior who gives us grace, is the same person, and it's the same. He's has a different characteristic about him when it comes to doing business, because he gives us stuff to perform his will, to get his will done. It's all about getting the will of God done. Right? Why does he give us this stuff? It's to get the will of God done, not to just run in circles and try to make a living for yourself and just take care of you, right? It's to take what he's giving you and reach out. Yes, pay yourself and pay others, pay the government what they pay, give to God what belongs to God, give the Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and pay yourself what belongs to you. I mean, that's all part of it. And so it's like Peter got gold from the fish's mouth, like Jesus told him, to pay his bills, his taxes, and Jesus' taxes. So when you start realizing how exact that is and exactly what he means by that, Peter had gotten those gold coins and ran off and spent the money on himself, right? You know, Jesus knew Peter wasn't going to do that, right? So he trusted him. What's God trusting you with? What's he trusting you with? What's he trusting us with? And we just think, oh, he's just going to be, you know, he knows I don't have much money, and my tithe is only $5 a year, $5 a month, $5 a week. You know, what's my $5 going to be doing to anybody? And God's going to go like, just like this one talent. He said, you know, what's my one talent going to do anybody, man? You know, I hit it. It's only one talent. So what's the big deal? And Jesus, you know, he totally got rebuked for it. One talent he gave him. And he threw him out, gave it to the guy who had the most. That's the way God does. God takes to those who he gives the most responsibility to, and he knows they can handle more, so he gives them more. So he takes away what other people, his servants, he's talking about his servants. These are people that are his servants, according to the scripture. So when you start realizing that, you want to make sure that you're, you know, walking in what God's telling you to walk in and obeying him and what he's telling you to do. Because it's going to come back on you, and he's not just going to go, oh, you know, I just know you only had one talent. You know, your tithe was only $5 a week. What's that going to buy for God's temple? Probably little or nothing, but that's not the point. The point is, are you being faithful and loyal to God with what God has given you? Because, friend, he's not going to go, oh, poor little thing. That's, you see it right here. And I can show you a lot more scripture where he does. This is the most popular one that we went to tonight. So this is the real Jesus. This is the real Word of God. This is the real God of the Bible, the business side of him, right? Not the shepherd side of him so much, you know, and his mercy and his compassion. And we sin and we fail and we make he pats it on the back, get up and go at it again. You know, that's a whole different part of him. All right, so we need to eat this and drink this and get this in our hearts and know that this is extremely important. And one of these days when the future comes and God says, you know, I'm gonna reward people according to what they've done with what I gave them, they say, what, Lord, you didn't give me anything. Everything I worked for that myself.
I went out and did that job. I went out and did, yeah, but who gave you the brain? Who gave you the body? Who gave you the favor to have that job? Oh, well, I didn't think about it like that. Right? So it's kind of like God's going, well, you got the truth, and you didn't walk in the truth that I gave you, so you're going to be, you once, and because you knew better. That's what he told him in this particular case with the one who had the one. He said, you knew better. The guy says that to the master. He said, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't. He said, I was afraid, so I went and hid it. Here, you can have back what's yours. He gave him back what was his. It wasn't like he lost it. He gave him back what was his. In other words, he didn't lose anything. And that was what he was banking on. Well, I didn't lose anything. I was kind of like, wow. Didn't lose anything? You think that's going to save you, that you didn't lose anything? He cast him out because, and look, friend, he gave the master back what the master had given him. He didn't steal it. It was up, but he didn't take it because it's a business. The business side of God is a whole different. You're going to see it right here. And we're going to talk about this in the future more and more. We're going to hit it a little here, a little there in different ways and start showing you, helping you understand that he's not going to go just pat you on the back and go, well, you know, he only had one talent. What good does that do? Not going to help nobody. So, no, you're going to be held accountable for every little thing, The little you, because he told the guys before that, he said, you've been faithful with a little bit over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many things. And so, and the Lord said, he said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not. In other words, this guy, the reason he was guilty was because he understood it. He knew. He even says, Lord, you know, I knew you were with. And the Lord says right here, said to him, yeah, you're right. You're wicked and lazy. You knew. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. You knew it. And you knew it, and you still did it anyway. Therefore, for Jesus told the Pharisees, all those religious people said, before you might have been okay, but now that you know, now you're in sin. Now that it's been made known to you, you are now in sin. You will now be held accountable by the business side of God, if you will. All right, y'all getting this? I love you, man. I'm trying to help you. You got to see the full picture of God. If you don't start seeing that, you know, don't, because he's going to say, oh, you heard Randy talk about it. you heard it. You know, you knew. If most people know already. They don't have to hear me say it. They already know. And they do it anyway because they think God, because they don't understand the business side of God, and they think, oh, you know, God, he's so merciful. He's so kind, you know. Randy and other preachers, they teach about how merciful and kind our Jesus is. Definitely is, as a shepherd. But as a businessman, you don't do what he told you to do, what he gave you. And you even if you give back what he gave you. See, that's why we're talking about the business side of God, because he didn't say, oh, I lost it, you know, and he lied and he hid it somewhere and said, no, he didn't lose it. He still had it. You see what I'm saying? He still had it. He didn't, it wasn't, the master hadn't lost anything. Y'all seeing this? He hadn't lost, the guy had not lost, he made sure he didn't lose it. And this is where most people deal. They deal in the fear realm. Oh, I don't want to lose. Oh, yeah, am I a little bit going to help anybody? It's not about what it's going to help anybody. It's what you and I are doing as unto the Lord. And he's going to say, you know, you're going to say, what happened to compassion? No, I want the compassionate, loving Jesus. Where'd he go? He said, well, right now, you know, he saved you. He forgives you of all your sins and continues to forgive you of your sins. You know, but we're talking about business. Well, here, God, we're giving you back what you gave us. I mean, we haven't lost it or stolen it or, you know. We're giving it back to you just as much as you gave us. He said, yeah, that's the problem. You're talking to the business side of God. You foolish, wicked servant, he says. Right? Did he steal anything? No. Did he lose anything? No. Did he give him back what he gave him in the very beginning?
Yep. Wow, what a teaching tonight. Woo!
Well, I'm convicted, y'all. Going, my Lord and my God, we have no excuses. And it's not about how much we have or don't have. If people think they don't have much, I don't have much talent, I don't have much ability, I don't have much. Remember how there's certain people who said they were the poorest, they were the smallest. Remember Gideon? Well, Gideon told the angel, he said, his excuse was, no, you don't understand. You know, my tribe, we're the smallest tribe. We're the weakest ones. And the angel goes, yeah, so? It's making a difference to him. What does that have to do with anything? Like, that was his excuse, right? And it's our excuse sometimes. All right, there's a whole lot more I'd like to talk about. Didn't really plan on going there exactly. That's kind of, we kind of slip off into that. The Lord wants to start, he's been telling me about this, to start talking, getting scripture about the business side of him. Right, because you can understand the business side when he says, you know, he gave the Lord back what he had. I mean, he didn't lose it, right? So what's wrong with that? You know, you didn't lose anything. Why are you so upset? Right, because he's showing the business side of God. All right, that's the whole purpose of this whole thing. When you break it down, you start seeing the scriptures. And it's just not just about money. Well, I give my money, but I don't, you know, but you don't do nothing now. It doesn't matter what. Whatever ability, whatever he's giving you that you claim as your own, and that's why you don't, you know, you can do whatever you want with what's, I mean, you know, sure, it belongs to you, and that's the whole thing. Is that, but where did it come from? It came from him. Yeah, it came from him. Yep. Yeah, there's different kinds of things. You know, the whole purpose of this, I want to kind of straighten this up before I move on. The whole purpose of this was he was giving them something, prove them to see. Because it wasn't something that they had, that they had worked for. It was something that he gave them above and beyond, right? It wasn't something that they had worked for and that was theirs. It was something that it says that when he was going away, he gave each of them some of his stuff. What was the purpose of that? Well, to see if they would see which ones would do the best, see which ones would learn how to use the talent that they had, right, the abilities that they had. It was all a test. So it wasn't something that they had earned and they went out and worked for. And he says, okay, he didn't say, okay, let's take something that you got. Okay, you guys give me five of your things, and then I'm going to give it right back to you, and then we take that stuff and work with it. No, it had nothing to do with him taking any of their stuff. He gave them his stuff to them to have, but like, you know, put it in their hands to say, I'm going to give you what's mine, and you're going to take what's mine, and you're going to learn how to work it and use it, and when you do, it's going to show that, you know, that you're able to rule, you know, more cities and have more responsibility, you know, and have more, you know, be walking the wealth realm, right? Yeah. So there you go. All right. Let's move on. Thank you for being with us tonight. We're going to take callers. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here tonight. And we're going to minister to every person tonight as we do every Wednesday. So we're going to call your number, and we will ask you your first name. Once I call your number, we have a lot of people don't have their hand up. Maybe you have that on purpose. I don't know. But that's okay. You don't have to. But we're going to call your number out. Even if I know who you are, of course, you'll tell me your first name. Even if I've known you for 25 years, and I know your number, just part of the way we do the show. So just if you can do that, I will call your area code and the first three digits of your number. We never give out full numbers to anybody, ever, and without high level permission. We never do that. And if anybody ever does that, they know that they've broken our rule and they're unprotecting people, breaking the protection realm. But we just don't do that. Right, so there's a reason for all that. We've gone through some things, and sometimes people could just, you know, don't do business very well. And nice people, they don't do business very well. They don't treat other people's things very well. And we've had a little bit of that going on in the past, way in the past, but I learned from it really quickly.
by the grace of God, hopefully quick enough. And so there you go. That's why we do that. So we'll call your area code, first digit, ask your first name, what state you're from, then I will mute you. And if you have an emergency prayer request, say it real quick, please, quickly as you can. You know, we're not in a big bad hurry, but we just don't want to do any talking on Wednesdays because we're dedicated to minister to every person that will call in. All right? All right. So about half the people don't have their hand up tonight. I guess you'll get your hand up later, but that'll be good. If not, we'll have a wonderful time and then move on. All right. If you've been watching the political stuff, it's been amazing. The Republicans now have the House with 218. The biggest problem with that is that the Democrats are right behind them with like 208, and they're still not all in yet, but we'll see what goes on. But it's kind of a slim majority. Didn't go as quite as well as the Republicans thought because Joe Biden is not as popular, and they thought they would really whoop up on that, and it didn't work very well for some reason. And also the Democrats ended up with powering over in the Senate, right? They had the majority in the Senate. So there you go. Amazing. So we'll see what goes on. It's going to be pretty cool. All right. So pray for PGN. We are at it hard and going at it. And believe in God, you know, we're right in the middle of a lot of things. God has put us right in the middle of some things. So thankful for it. So continue to pray for us as, you know, the pressure is not a bad pressure, but it is a pressure. And so we need your prayers. Amen. All right, let's take callers tonight. All right, 202-722. Who am I talking to, Tom, please?
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, Daryl Paul and Mary and Nicole. All right, thank you guys for being with us. All right, thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul, Father. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul, that you're training him, God. He's going to learn quick, and there's something in you that's able to absorb information and put it into action. And so I thank you, Lord, for that in his job situation. You've asked me to pray for you for a job situation, for your higher level position in your job. And for that, so I thank you, Lord, for that as he learns more and more and more the ways of God. As that increases inside of him, it's going to open up the ability for him to learn quick and sharp and be sharp and quick and absorb information and be able to put it into action. Absorbing information is one thing. Putting it into action is another. So I think, Lord, he's not only able to absorb information but put it into action. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for that, that people will see that about him and realize, you know, what's going on with you? You know, something good's going on. It's like his ability to absorb and do, put it into action. And, you know, so thank you, Lord, for that, for my brother Paul, Daryl Paul, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord, and he'll be able to teach others and train them in the ways of that he's learning, things he's learned about, and awaken people to a diversity of things. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. And Nicole, thank you, Lord, for Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her, Father, to serve you and to be faithful and loyal to you, God. And that as you bring, you know, as her and Daryl come together as one, God, that you unite them together in that holy place, Father, in Jesus' name, in the holy place where the holy ways of God, the holy meaning, you know, how God created human beings to fellowship and love one another and be blessed one another and communicate and share and watch each other's back and really be a kingdom all within itself. You know, a man and a woman can be a kingdom all within themselves. And we thank you, Lord, for that. They have their own little kingdom, God. That's your kingdom in them, but it's also the kingdom of it's part of the kingdom of God. And God, show them how that it's connected to the whole realm of the kingdom of God around the earth, around the globe, and yet they're in their own lives, God, in Jesus' name, in a very personal way. In Jesus' name, open up and give them that favor, Father, in Jesus' name, and confirm for them, God, their unit that you called them to be unified together, in Jesus' name, and
to behold the holiness of God, the way that God does things. Holy means, you know, it's not just living holy, you know, quote unquote, but you people live holy because they understand that they're how they're created, why they're created, for each other, and how to nurture one another. And, you know, holy means doing things God's way, and understanding the ways of God, and doing that other than just trying to do good and trying to be good. It is understanding the way God has made things and functioning in that, nurturing each other, God, in Jesus' name, because you nurture them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that, in Jesus' name. All right, you guys, thank you. All right, 662-806, I'm going to talk to you this one, please.
This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. All right, Cynthia, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia, Father. I thank you for giving her to drink, Father, of everlasting water, that drink that's not just temporary, but it is everlasting. Once you drink of it, you don't want anything else, because you know, in other words, not that you don't drink more of it, but you once you get used to that certain kind of spiritual drink from the Father, you know, all the other drinks, all the things that we partake of become so minute in our minds, in our desires. And I thank you, Lord, for that everlasting water, the water that brings everlasting life, that she drinks of that, God. You teach her how to partake of your spirit, partake of your love, partake of your grace, partake of your mercy, partake of your teaching, God, and understanding your ways, God. And she drinks of that. And, Father, the more she drinks of it, the more she wants it. And the more she wants it and drinks of it, the more she understands it, the more she's able to do it, that she can understand that doing the will of God is more drinking of him. Jesus said at the last day of the feast, he said, all you who are thirsty, come and drink of me. He knew that when we just drink of him, when we partake of him, then we will do the will of God. It's not, he said, it's no longer about the law. It's no longer about trying to be right and do right. It's about loving me and drinking from me. And when you drink from me, you shall live in an everlasting life manner. So I thank you, Lord, for teaching her more and more how to drink from you, Jesus. Drink, 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 partake of you and drink from you, not from religion, not from the hand of man, but the hand of God, whether you're using people or however you're doing it, but from the hand of God. In Jesus' name, that she drinks. Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast and said, all you who are thirsty, come and drink. That was his answer to everything. He was saying, you know, repent of your sins. Of course, that's part of it. But he was saying, you want to walk in life, drink of me, partake of me. And then when we focus on partaking of him and drinking of him, then we just live the life. It just happens. Amen. That's why he said he was the fulfillment of the law, because now, you know, with the law, you have to work. With me, you just drink. You become a drinker. Amen. You partake of and swallow and live in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that place in Jesus' name where we see how easy it is, God, to walk with you and live with you and do your will, drinking of you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 214-434, who may talk to your friend, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for me and Derek?
Absolutely. Kimberly and Derek, all right. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for opening up avenues for them for freedom to, you know, if you have to be able to see yourself, with someone, see yourself, you know, like I have to, when I start being able to see myself, not in my own intellectual, you know, laboring to see myself, but the Holy Spirit opens you up to see yourself with someone. Sometimes seeing yourself with them, seeing yourself is part of, you know, the revealing that they're part of your life, because you see yourself. You can see yourself with them. You can see yourself dwelling with them. You can see yourself, you know, living life and working things out and having, you know, and enjoying life. Thank you, Lord, that you will open up Kimberly's seer, God, and Derek's seer, Father, where they can see themselves. And once you see it, then you just do it. Once you see it, you do it. Just like we talked with Cynthia before you, you know, a drinking of the Lord is how we be like him, is drinking of him, not working hard and laboring to do it. And I thank you, Lord, the same thing for Kimberly and Derek. that you are opening up the dimension of her father to see, to be able to see. Because when you see it, there's no conflict, right? It's like having a clear picture on your TV or your computer or whatever the visual. And I thank you, Lord, that they will be able to see each other. When you can see each other, sometimes, when things are not quite ready yet, it's hard to see. I can see it a little bit, but then when the picture starts getting clear and the clouds and darkness, see through a cloud darkly, when you start seeing clearer and clearer and clearer, then it's pretty well proof, that this is working, as you can start seeing it. And I thank you, Lord, for Derek and Kimberly, God, you opening their eyes to what you want them to see. Amen. That they will see. Yeah, I can see that. When people say something, you go, oh, yeah, I can see that. And there's something about the ability to be able to see things. They can be able to see themselves dwelling together. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, 610-969, who would talk to return, please?
Shalom, shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from Pennsylvania. And I wanted to tell you that I got to play your prayer and prophecy over Andre, and it was really effective. So God is good.
Oh.
And I'm asking for
awesome.
You to pray for his. Yeah, yeah, it was, because it helped him understand, like, the inner turmoil,
okay.
So I know we're not going to talk, so I'm just going to ask you to pray for his son. His son is 13. He's very troubled, and his name is Alexander. And just pray for him and Andre's, relationship and whatever, how
right.
the Lord leads. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, we don't talk on Wednesdays. But we do like a good emergency prayer request. And I love this emergency prayer request. Thank you, Lord, for Alexander. Father, we thank you. We gave a minister to him last night. Lisa asked us to pray for him last night, so we did. And thank you, Lord, for touching him. Thank you, God, for loving Alexander, Father, Jesus, I thank you that, to a certain degree, we have responsibilities for our children. And on the other hand, there's some things that they have to decide on their own. And we thank you, Lord, that you will divide that up between that Andre will see that there's some things he has no responsibility for and there's some things he has much responsibility for. But, when life changes and you're not able to be there, so I thank you, Lord, for showing him how to deal with that in a proper way where he's not grieved and messed up by that, but he's able to release the guilt and the shame and all the stuff that comes with that stuff to be able to be with him in the spirit, even though he cannot be in the natural. It's not the same thing. But there's something about, because we're connected by blood, there's something about with the Holy Spirit, we can be somewhat connected, spiritually, just like Jesus is with right in the Father. He's not with us here, right? He's not here. But we're connected with him by the Holy Spirit. So I think it goes to that connection, that he'll be able to breathe life from a distance. The Bible says we can speak the word. We can speak the word, and it will be done. Send the word, speak the word, send the word. So I thank you, Lord, for that for him to be able to learn how to send the word, speak the word. Like tonight we talked about how that when Jesus comes back on the earth, he's going to be in Jerusalem, probably for the most part. And how are we going to know what he wants to say? We're going to call him up. Everybody can't call him up, right? It's not going to happen. So it's the Holy Spirit. We communicate with him. And he gives us messages, by the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord, for showing him, God, that and the fatherly spirit of God that Andre can agree with Alexander on in Jesus' name to lead him and guide him and take his pain and his the parts that are missing with him, his anger, and turn it into something beautiful. God, you can do that. You can show him your love, and he can do it at a distance. He can agree and in the same sense, Father fathers us in the spirit. He's not literally here physically doing it, right? So God's going to show you how to understand how the Father, we don't see the Father, but we know he's with us. So it's like your son not seeing you, but knowing that you're with him, and God's showing you that, all right? So open that up for him, Father, in Jesus' name, and to help Alexander in Jesus' name, amen. And for Lisa, Father, we thank you, Father, for for your love for her, Father, and that the more she learns how to receive your love, and that your love, be drawn into her, drawn out of God, and he will draw out of you. Amen. And so I thank you, Jesus, for this whole thing of drawing nigh, drawing nigh, drawing nigh. Teach her how to show her more and more how to draw nigh. We think we know already, and we do. We know some. Of course we do, because we've learned. But there's a whole drawing realm. The woman at the well, he said, come draw. If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask for me to draw water for you and to give you drink. There's something about the drink thing tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for giving her that drink, God, where she draws from the wells of salvation, Father, and learn. And this whole thing about drinking, draws, that Jesus said, if you knew the water, you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for water. And she says, yes, Lord, give me that water. And so he did. He started talking to her and reading her mail and loving her and broke down every wall of prejudice and disrespect for certain things. Just totally just loved her as a human being, not just as a woman, but as a human being that was God's child, not a Gentile or half, half and half, or whatever, a Jew, but loving her as a human being in Jesus' name. Because all of a sudden her whole world turned around because she realized that he loved her as a human being, not as a Jew or Gentile or a sinner or whatever. And thank you, Lord, for that, training her in that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 972-695, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also please pray for Gregory?
Gregory, absolutely. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Gregory. Lord, we thank you for Gregory, for your compassion, Father, that you show compassion, Father, because compassion is what causes you to be drawn to help people, to give your life, to plant seeds. If you're giving it to a woman, to a male, to a female, husband to a wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the thing is, when you're giving your life, God, when you learn how to give your life away, there's just the reward with that, the blessing that comes with that. So, Lord, I thank you for Gregory learning how to give his life away, to give his life away, and so I thank you, Lord, as you break through that in his life, God, that he will see life in a whole different way, you will bless him and nurture him and satisfy him, make him happy and joyful. When we fulfill our purpose, and that is to lay down our life for others. And thank you, Jesus, for everything that tries to take Gregory and make him be selfish and whatever, all the things that we all have, that selfish flesh that wants to, that you would nurture him and show him how to keep that part of him fed that is always nurturing and giving out in Jesus' name. And then when he receives, Father, he receives approval from you, that what he really desires is approval from you, God. In Jesus' name, open that up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And show him that approval in all the different ways you want him to have it. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. And so, Terrence and Tanisha, thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for establishing him, God, as a person who is established. When people listen to you, when they hear you, they're going to go, oh, he's established. He's an established person. He's not flaky. He's not up and down. He's not all over the place. He's established. And Lord, and then that will cause other people around him to be established, and you create an establishment, from the establishment abilities you've given him, whatever that means, establishment. Let me look that up here. Hang on a second. Okay. Hang on a minute. Okay, so I'm looking at the word established here. I don't really know exactly what it means. It may mean a lot of things. Set up an organization, a system, or set of rules on a firm or permanent basis. Wow. Yeah, set up an organization. Set up, and it says an organization or system or set of rules on a firm or permanent basis. Here's another one, number two, similar to it, says achieve permanent acceptance and recognition for. Achieve permanent acceptance or recognition for. The principle of the supremacy of national parliaments needs to be firmly established. Okay. So whatever that means, I don't know exactly. Lord, I thank you for showing him that, what that means, what's up with all that. Establishing him, God, in Jesus' name. And read one more thing here. Maybe find something else a little bit here. I'm just reading this. I just Googled this, right? That's all I did. To institute something such as a law permanently by enactment or agreement, obsolete, settled since, to make firm or stable, to introduce and cause to grow and multiply, establish grass on pasture land, you know, something. This is examples. To bring into existence, found, established a republic. It's just what it's, I'm reading what it says. Don't know all what that means, but thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. For Tanisha, God, we thank you, Lord, for the covering, God, the coverings, that people know that that she walks in that, in the covering of the Holy Spirit, that she's covered, the mantle upon her life, and the mantle upon her life, like Elijah's mantle, Elisha, in that sense, the covering, you know, brought a covering, brought a connection to, you know, things. Thank you, Lord, for that that ability to cover the coverings. The Bible says that we're covered by Him. In Jesus' name, in different ways. I thank you, Lord, for the covering, God, in her life, in Jesus' name, that she knows she's established in that covering, that you are covering her, God, and all the different ways you cover her, that she is covered, she is protected, she is covered. In other words, like, it's kind of like saying, do you have insurance? Are you covered? You're going, yeah, we got good insurance. You know, she's covered, God, in Jesus' name. She's insured. She's protected. She's, so in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, cool. All right, 325-280, who would talk to Ruth, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for the Hardy. Hang on a second. Let me get Hardy. It's a strange word. I don't know what they mean. Hardy, robust. Capable of enduring difficult condition. Oh, interesting. I just looked at the word hardy, literally. And I'm looking it up right now again in different ways. Hardy, looks like it gives names of people. Hardy. I didn't want to put the meaning of hardy. I love it. I used to get words in a meaning. I just have to Google it, meaning of hardy. That way I get a really good broad view of it and people understand what the word is. A robust, capable of enduring difficult conditions. Wow. I'll take some of that. Robust. Chris the robust. The robust Chris. The Chris who's capable of enduring difficult conditions. A hardy breed of cattle is an example. A hardy breed of cattle. I Googled this, right? I put in meaning of hardy. That's the word that I heard right off of that. I just got to trust him because that's different. It's making sense to me. I'm a plant able to survive outside during the winter. Oh, there you go. Hey, man, this is getting better by the minute. Able to survive outside during the winter. Wow, like a evergreen, something like that. Evergreen. All right. I don't know. I'm just reading this. A favorite flowering shrub for early spring, vigorous and hardy. Wow, interesting. What is another mean of hardy? I'm going right down below looking at this. Another meaning of hardy. Okay. All right. Praise God. Thank God for Google. Meaning of hardy in English, strong enough to bear extreme conditions or difficult situations. Few hardy souls continue to swim in the sea, even in the middle of the winter. Hey, man, I think the Lord is trying to say, this dude's tough. He's one tough. Mama Jedi. That's all I can say. Is it Hardy or Harty? You know, H-E-A-R-T-Y and H-A-R-D-Y. Hard, H-A-R-D-Y is what I got. Hardy itself refers to good health and ability, while hardy implies a boldness. Whoa, this gives the difference between hardy, H-A-R-T-Y, which is not the word I got. Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y is the word I got. Implies a boldness or capability to withstand tough conditions. In other words, you know, what I think about when I hear that stuff is like, you know, Joseph, and, you know, he was in some very extreme conditions, and just, they just couldn't kill him. You know, they couldn't take him out. You know, and I also, what I think about also is like, I always think about Isaac for some reason. You know, I mean, that's what I'm thinking about right now, but Isaac, where he just, you know, in time of famine, man, he's bearing 100-fold. 100-fold in famine. That's kind of what I see that whole thing of being hardy is, for some reason, which is very unusual, but really cool. All right, y'all know I'm just a messenger boy. I'm a reporter from heaven. This is Randy Chandler reporting from heaven. That's it, man. Awesome. There you go. So God bless you with that. That's just you, man. God's made you like that. Yeah, you thrive. You thrive, and no matter what, and that's why I think God really likes you, man. Woo, I love this stuff. All right, 478-233. Who am I talking to? Your friend, please.
Hello, this is from Georgia.
Who from Georgia?
Janice.
Oh, Janice. Hi, Janice.
Hi.
All right, Janice, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Janice. God, I thank you, Lord, for this resistance, the ability to resist. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. So, you know, you must be submitted to God, because in order to resist, you know, a force of, you know, trouble or whatever, you have to be submitted to God. So this whole thing about God's going to teach you how to be submitted to him. You know, all the different ways we submit to God. I don't even know if I know all of them, but of course I don't know all of them. But learning how to submit to God, how do I submit to God? One of the ways I learned how to submit to God that taught me a lot about and trained me how to be how I am with God more, a little bit better than I used to be. And that is when he put me with a pastor for 10 years, I was a house prophet, is what they called me, and there for 10 years. And God told me to submit myself to him. I'm going like, okay, no problem. You know, and then I found that there's things I didn't agree with him on. You know, Jesus and all that was all the same. Christ, you know, all the foundation things are the same. But there were some things I just didn't agree with him on. And the Lord's going like, you know, what are you going to do now? You can talk bad about him. What are you going to do? He said, well, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to submit to him. So I learned how to submit to somebody, even without agreeing with their stuff, and still work with them, love them, and be their friend. And so, you know, and he would have me do things that I didn't even know if I could do them or not. And so it started teaching me how to, in my submission to God, how that when he would ask me to do something, he would say, Randy, I know you got a word from God. Step up here. And right in front of the whole congregation, he had me step up, gave me the microphone, and said, I know you got something. Girl, I wouldn't have nothing. I mean, nothing. And so I'm going like, I just submitted, right? I took the microphone. I'm looking at everybody going, oh, dear God. And all of a sudden, out of my mouth starts coming stuff. I'm going like, oh, hallelujah. You know, and I start talking and speaking. And what happened was in my submission that I had somebody pulling on me, you know, asking me to do things that I wasn't ready to do. But I didn't have anything. Why am I going to give something when I don't have anything? But what it did in my submission to God, it caused me to open up to being able to flow when I didn't have anything, which is what I do on PGN all the time. You know, I just go from one call to another one, minister. We minister all the time. You know, the information realm that comes out of me, you know, I'm surprised at it myself. 99% of the time, I'm surprised about it. Why? What helped me get there? By submitting, by learning how to submit and being asked to do things that I couldn't do. So So what does that mean? If I can't do it, then who has to do it through me? God. So it caused God, because I submit, I took the microphone. I didn't say, no, I have nothing. Lord said, don't ever tell him you don't have anything. You know all things. You know, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. I'm going like, I do? You do? Okay. So he would hand me the microphone, and I'm standing there going like, come on, Randy, prophesy. Yeah, I love that man. He was awesome. And so I just stand there thinking I don't have anything, and all of a sudden, here comes this information out of nowhere. And you know what? It tapped me into that area. Why? Because I submitted to God through him. And so there's a lot of different ways to submit and to learn. And it was a powerful thing. God really used it to show me. And also I learned how to – sometimes I don't agree with God. I mean, I've got to tell you the honest truth. Sometimes, you know, God tells me talk to me about Joe Biden. I'm going like, I don't really agree with Joe Biden. He says, it doesn't matter what you agree with. Just tell him what I say. I'm going like, okay. But I voted for Donald Trump. What are you doing? He said, just do what I say. And so I would do what he said, even when I didn't agree with it at first. I learned that to submitting to my pastor. And I learned to submit to God. So now that I'm not with my pastor anymore, but I'm in a place where I can do whatever, now I've learned, it brought me into submission to God, you know, yeah. So if you can get a hold of that, it changed a lot. All right, 612-805, human talk to the front, please.
Hey, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hey, Joyce. All right, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Thank you, Lord, for that recovery realm, that recovery. I speak recovery over you. We're going to recover all things. Recover all the things you've been dreaming for. Recover things that have been lost. Recover things that have been stolen. Recover things that got seemingly distracted. Recovering those things, God, in the spirit of God. When God recovers those things through you and in you and around you and for you, it's gonna shock you. It's gonna surprise you. You're gonna go, oh my gosh. What was that? Where did that come from? Yeah, God's recovery, the spirit of recovery. And I decree that over your life. I speak it into your life in Jesus' name that God's going to recover those things which have been lost, the enemy has taken for whatever reason, being able to manipulate and control. God says, I'm not gonna let anybody steal from my baby, from my daughter, from my girl. Nobody. Whatever he steals, as you giving it back to me, as you yielded it to me, I'm going to bring it back to you in a large measure, in Jesus' name. Open it up, God, and Chicago, all the disappointments in the name of Jesus for appointments. The restoration of disappointment is appointments. Open it up, God, in Jesus' name. Let it be done. Amen. All right, 585-436. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Anonymous.
Anonymous, hi, Anonymous. All right. Think for Anonymous. Lord, I think for freedom, God. Lord, open up to true freedom. What true freedom is? Freedom is being able to do whatever God tells you to do and knowing that you are being led by him, being guided by him. You're not just doing what your own, you know, selfish will is, but you're yielding your self will to God like Jesus did when he said, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, and so I thank you, Jesus, for that whole realm of truly yielding over the will, God. Because when we do that, as you know, Anonymous, what happens when you yield your will up to God and we do it willingly. Now, he's not going to take it from us, right? You know that. He's not going to take over your will and do stuff. No, he needs us to ask him. Or give him permission, not my will. In other words, you can have my will, God. What do you want to do? And then when he starts doing it, once we give him our will, sometimes he'll start doing things that we don't agree with. But he'll be able to do it anyway, in spite of us. And he'll like, God, no, not that. And we think it's not good, but God goes, you don't understand what I'm about to do. That looks bad to you is good because you gave me your will. You gave it to me. Guess what? I'm taking it over. Because you gave it to me. And because we gave it to God, we can't take it back. Amen. As you. So he says, now I'm going to, you know, I mean, we can wrestle with it. I guess we can take it back in different ways. But when, as the deeper we yield our will to him, the more he moves us into his will. And even when we don't know or understand or want it, because sometimes we don't understand what's best for us, he does it in spite of us. Even when we're sitting there going, and I've done this many times. Oh, I don't agree with that. He says, yeah, I know. but I'm going to do it anyway because you gave me permission. I'm going to like, man, this is awesome. Yeah, in other words, I'm going to win no matter what, even if I don't agree with it, because I gave him my will. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. All right, 214-415, you want to talk to Ruth, please?
Barbara from Texas.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Barbara. All right, thank you, Lord, for that sanctification realm, God, that whole because when we sanctify things to God, guess what? God can bless it. You know, when God gives us something and we dedicate it to him and sanctify it unto him for his use, when we become sanctified and set apart for his use, then he begins to work in our behalf and he's able to bless us because not only does he sanctify us, but we sanctify ourselves. In other words, we come into agreement, okay, God, I set myself apart for you, right? That's kind of what's telling Anonymous there about when you choose to say, God, my will is yours. In that sense, you're sanctifying yourself. You're setting yourself apart. How do you do that? It's by your will. Of course, our body is a living sacrifice to the Lord, but if he doesn't have our will, then he's not going to have our body, right? So our will comes first. We choose to give him our body. We choose to give him our will. We give him your will. That's like being in that sense we are sanctified. We are coming in agreement with God by saying, "Okay, God, I set myself apart for you," right? Because he's not going to make us do it. So we sanctify ourselves. And I think, Lord, I give you my will. I choose to give you my will. Right? I choose to give you my will. And I thank the Lord for that. When we're sanctified and set apart, then he can start doing things in spite of us. He can start doing things. Even if we don't have the faith for it, he can do it anyway. He can perform miracles. He can do things that we don't even understand how big he wants to go. But because we've given him our will, we open the door for him. When we're sanctified and set apart for his use, then he can do stuff that's way beyond us, exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think or even imagine. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Amen. All right, 915-248. Who am I talking to, friend, please?
Prophet Daniel and Carmen from Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right. Daniel and Carmen from Texas. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for his availability, Father, to you that as you become available to him more and more in your heart. Being available for God is not always a physical thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to get off work today and I'm going to spend time with God. Well, that's good. But it's more of what goes on inside of our heart. We give our heart to God. We yield our heart to him wherever we are. We can be working 24 hours a day and we give our heart to God and make room for him in our heart, give him our life. And make ourselves available for him in our hearts, then wherever we are, he uses us, right? It's not that we have to go do a certain thing. It's wherever we are. And we start realizing that we are the temple of God. And when our heart is given over to him to do whatever he wants, then we become blessed, whether we're, you know, like this happened to me when I was working construction work. You know, we worked high rise. We did, the company did remodels, high-rise remodel on the inside. And, I did my part of that. So I was there working. And because in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I'm called to the ministry. And here I am doing this painting and this construction work. And you know what? I can't wait till I get back out there because I'd pastored and evangelized already. But when I moved to Dallas, I didn't have anything, right? So I had to, I went to work. I didn't sit around and beg people, give me money because I'm called to the ministry. You know, I went out there and I started working. And I struggled with this whole thing going, God, what's going on? I spent 7 years. I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly how long I was there, but it was a while. And so I began to witness to the people there. And God just started telling me to make yourself available wherever you are. And so this taught me a whole new thing, right, Daniel? So I began to make myself available. I kind of already did already, but this is at another level. And so the Lord said, just share, just give your, try to win them to Jesus. And I was a pretty rough witness. I was kind of like the kind of person who wasn't very wise. I just kind of walked right up to him and said, hey, man, you want to know Jesus? He loves you. I would just walk right up to him and talk to him about the Lord. And I didn't, use my strategy. That was my strategy. It was just blunt and, you know, loving but kind and all that, but still. So as I made myself available for God wherever I was at this new level, you know, because I kept thinking, man, I'm going to be used by God in the ministry out there behind the pulpit in the church. And the Lord says, make yourself available wherever you go. Make yourself available. I'm going, okay. So I began to do that. And then one day on a weekend, working weekends, is when the breakthrough happened. You know, God says, I want you to go in there and offer Adrian, who was the worst of all of them, the construction work, we had like 70 or 80 of them. He was the worst of everybody. Everybody called him a heathen. The heathens called him a heathen. And God said, I want you to go to him, and I want you to offer him money, which is something I've never done in my life. And so I walked in there to him. Just I did exactly what God said. As crazy as it sounds, I walked in there and said, Adrian. He's looking at me like, what? You know, he was a very blunt, arrogant guy. And I said, hey, I took the money in my billfold. I said, here, you can have this. If I can put my fingers on your head for 3 minutes, and if nothing happens, you can keep the $10. He knew I was a Christian, right? He put the money in, you know, he stuck it in his pocket. Yeah, man, that's some beer money. Thank you. Go ahead. You know, he was just mocking me. So I started praying for him, and he said, no, Jesus, no, Jesus, and gave me my money back. And and then I prayed for somebody else. And so what went on was a few minutes later, he turned around and he said, you know, I did it again. And the power of God hit him, changed everything. And then revival broke out right there on the job for 3 years, three and a half years, right there on the job site. You know, and so God started saying, make yourself available wherever you are, Randy. And whatever I tell you to do, just try to do it the best you can. And so I've never offered people money. Are you kidding me? Evangelists raise money. We take up money. People give money. We don't give money for prayer. You know, we give money away to help people, but we don't give money for, you know. And so I did that thing. It was so odd. It was so unusual. And I thank the Lord for Daniel. God, you used him to give him a unique path, a unique way of doing things. He's available wherever you go, wherever he goes, wherever he's at. He's available for you, Father. In Jesus' name, you're going to pour your spirit out through him. And the same thing with karma, God. I thank you, Lord, for karma, God, that we find ourselves, that we are the temple of God. Karma gets a new revelation on being the temple of God. We are the temple of God. And wherever the temple of God is, the glory of God is always there. God's always at home inside of us. He's always there. And wherever we are, we can be with him. You know, it's better than even being in the garden, you know, where God would come down to the garden. He would come down to the garden and visit. You know, with us, he lives in us. We're connected to him. We're seated with him in heavenly places. He lives in us. We're connected to him at all times. And I thank you, Lord. I know she already knows that. But I'm asking you, God, we're in a season, Carmen, where we're looking toward the temple being built in Jerusalem as one of the highest prophetic prophecies coming to pass, showing exactly where we are in the end times, like never before, and we're there. So what does that represent? It represents temple stuff, temple, everything about the temple. So what's God going to do to us? We don't need that temple, right? It's just a great sign. It's going to be awesome. It's just a sign for us. But for us, it's the spiritual part of that for us is, as you already know, some is that we are the temple of God, and God's going to begin to magnify that. He's going to begin to raise up and open up. So that Christians can know that we are the temple of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. And it's going to open up a whole other dimension of the glory of God to shake people, to move people, for the glory and the cloud of God to manifest in our lives, God. And I thank you for that, Carmen, in Jesus' name, and that whole thing about the temple and this whole season for temples, for the temple in Jerusalem being built. And that whole thing and what that means for us today as Christians, it's going to be a time of great glory where your cloud comes down and manifests with us and sits on us. And people start seeing the glory of God sitting on us, coming out of us, smoke, the glory of God's smoke coming out of our nostrils, right? Hey, man, is that smoke coming out of your ears? Yeah, it's the glory of God. You want some here? Take some. You blow some Holy Ghost smoke on him. If it's the smoke of God, you know, like the mountain that burned with smoke, you know, with Moses went up. Yeah, that smoke. Amen. All right. Deliver people from cigarettes and nicotine and that kind of thing. are blowing God's smoke in their lungs, blowing God's smoke in his glory inside of them. Amen. Demons coming out. All right, 951-966. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Hi, this is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina.
Hi, Prophet. This is Regina. Hi.
Yes. All right, good day. From California, right? All right, yes. Thank you for Regina, God. I thank you, Lord, for the rebuke of God. God, that you're going to rebuke the devourer, Father. The Bible says in Malachi that he rebukes the devourer. And Lord, I thank you for the devourer. Father, sometimes we don't understand. We think the devourer is like some horrible, bad thing. But the devourer is anything that tries to devour our family, tries to devour our favor, tries to devour our life, tries to devour, you know, our time, make us weary, you know, devour our peace. And I thank you, Lord, for Regina, God, that I rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can't, you know, you can't devour anything of hers. What she has is protected. What she has is given to her by God. She gives God the glory. She gives to God what belongs to God, and she gives to Caesar what belongs to you. She's got that balanced life, God, in Jesus' name. Devourer cannot devour her, Father. The devourer can only come to those who don't give to God what belongs to God. And I thank you, Lord. The Bible says to rebuke the devourer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. I kind of agree with that. The devourer is rebuked in every area, in her family, in her finances, Father, in her anointing, in her calling, in her ministry, in the mantle of God in her life, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. She will flow and function and prosper in the name of Jesus. And the devourer is rebuked. Amen. And she is blessed and favored in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 214-701, who am I talking to from, please?
Latoria from Texas.
Oh, Latoria. All right, Latoria. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Latoria. Thank you, Lord, for your favor, God. Thank you for the agony, you know, the things that the sufferings that she's gone through at different times, Father, from being misunderstood, from being, not only misunderstood, but people judging her wrongfully and her even judging herself wrongfully sometimes. Sometimes we don't understand ourselves and who we are and what we're really called to do, what we're really called to be, the greatness of God. We judge ourselves. We judge ourselves short of where we're called to be and what we're called to do. And Lord, I thank you that she will not count herself. Sin is coming short of the glory. And I thank you, Lord, that Tori is not going to come short of the glory, God. She's going to live in righteousness. She's going to live in a right relationship with God. She's going to live in that place where God can bless her and favor her. God, she's not going to rob God, and God's not going to rob her. And the enemy can't rob her either in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that she will not come short of the glory, God, that she will see the glory, the thing you called her to do and be, God, and she will begin to put that into action and not sit around and wait for somebody else to do it, but she will put it into action. You know, all God needs, Latoria, is one person to agree with him. You don't need a bunch. People are into the numbers games because, you know, numbers are great. You know, having a lot of this and a lot of that, a lot of people surrounding you, a lot of people in agreement with you. You know what? God says, I need one person or two or more agree session. We come into agreement with God. You know, yeah, thank God we need people for this. But if we don't have our agreement with God, he can't even bring the numbers. He can't even bring the bus. Well, I thank you, Lord, for showing Latoria, God, that we don't have to wait until we have agreement with somebody, something that you can bless her with her simple agreement with you, God, where she will not come short of the glory, meaning the full purpose what you called her to, God. She's not going to be blindsided by distractions, God. She's keeping her eyes on you, Jesus, and when she does that, she's going to find herself that God will bring her that money, that man in her life, that people, that family, that's all the things that she needs, God. You will bring that, amen, because when we give you the glory, you bring the glory. The glory is the covenant promises, everything you promise us, the physical blessings, the financial blessings, you know, the people in our lives, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let that be done, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. She will not come short of the glory. She's going to come. She's going to be full of the glory, walk in the glory, live in the glory. God, she gives you the glory. She doesn't take any of your glory for herself. She gives it to you, God. She gives she's a giver, God. She's given to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And therefore, she will not come short of the glory. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's why God such is glory, because God so loved the world that he gave. He gives. He even gives to people who hate him. He gives to people because he's a merciful, kind, loving God. He gives his glory. He's just looking for people that will give it back to him in Jesus' name so he can share it with them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done. All right, 803-991. Can I talk through the phone, please? All right, 803-991, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, whom I talk to, are we from, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. All right. Thank you, Angela. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that peace walk, God, giving her, helping her understand that you've called her to be a peacemaker, not a peace faker, not fake peace, but real peace. You know, not like fake. Not like fake information, the fake media, as Trump called it. But she's a peacemaker, God. The peacemakers have to have the truth and speak the truth and know the truth. And when God says there's peace, then there's peace. If people try to make peace outside of God's purpose, well, you know, it's okay. I can do whatever I want. I still got peace. I have peace. No, you won't. If you're not doing things God's way, there is no peace. Without God's will, without God's purposes. And I thank you, Lord, for the peace of God. You called her to be a peacemaker, Father, a true peacemaker in Jesus' name. And so when people, you know, are doing the wrong thing, God, you're there. She's going to be there to help them where they can walk in real peace. But if you're not walking in the ways of God or walking what's right, you're not walking in peace. You can't have peace. And, Lord, I thank you that Angela will help people understand that. That walking in peace means you're walking with God, the author of peace. Peace comes ultimately from God because we go back to our Creator. Everything about peace comes from our Creator. And I thank you, Jesus, that you said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And that peace of God, that authority, that realm of authority for Jesus when he walked, because Jesus walked in peace because he always obeyed the Father. He always did things God's way. When we do things God's way, there's true peace. And that true peace comes with great authority. Peace to the storm. Peace to, you know, yeah. So he cast devils out. And that peace, the peace of God in him, cast the devils out and brought people true peace. I mean, sometimes people think peace is learning to live with the devils you have. No, you never have peace with living with the devil. You have to have it cast that devil out and get the devils out and get peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. 863-605, you want to talk to your friend, please? All right. I believe this is Nikki. Nikki and Charles. Thank you, Lord. Charles, I think, is in Africa somewhere. Uganda, I think. I think that's where it's at. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki, God. I thank you for showing her that the spirit realm, the word of God offers all kinds of things that we have to make us whole. You know, that we're going back to the origin of things. We're going back to the root of things. And that's why even in the natural realm, roots are very powerful. They have very, very powerful elements in them that help us live because God created them. The roots come from the seed. And so people start taking things beyond the root. Start make it into something else, and it loses its value, it loses its power. And so the root realm is so powerful, not just in the spiritual realm, but in the natural realm. And I thank you, God, for opening her up to that we're going back to the roots, we're going back to the genesis of things, to the origin of things. And, God, that's in every area. That's even with the things that we eat and the things that we do, spiritually and physically, that we're going back to the root realm. Amen, in Jesus' name. The true, you know, we have biblical medicine from the Holy Spirit, and we have natural medicine that God gives us, that God has given us, that's hidden in the root systems of things, because the roots is what is the closest to the origin that we have, because it started out with the seed, but the seed is no longer there, because the seed, well, once it died, it produced roots. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing her into that root realm to know how to pray from the root level, how to intercede from the root level, how to prosper from the root level. Amen, in Jesus' name. And Charles, just bless Charles wherever he's at, God. open his heart up, God. Bring the spirit of repentance, Father, wherever he goes, where people will turn to God. Maybe even the people that they're with, their whole crew, they will get closer to God through this whole thing, God. This trip will not just be good for the people there, but will be good for them. In Jesus' name, open them up to the divine origin of realms with God, to the divine origin realms with God, to what really counts, what really matters in life. In Jesus' name, nothing else matters except what God intends. Nothing else pleases God but what God intends from his origin, from his beginning, from we're going back to where we just started from, except greater. Amen. All right. All right, 234-327. Who am I talking to? Where you from, please? Who am I talking to? Where you from? Say it again, please. You must. If you have me on speakerphone, take me on speakerphone so I can hear you, please. Okay, 234. That is. That's Elaine from Ivory Coast. Do some online translation, okay? All right, thank you, Lord, for Elaine. A-L-A-I-N, Yabo, whatever that is, from Ivory Coast. Thank you, Lord, for Elaine, God. We thank you, Jesus, for Elaine, God. We thank you for giving her favor, Father, that she can walk in compassion. It's the compassion of Jesus. That's the compassion when she speaks, when she talks, when she works, when she does the things of God. Even in her translation, what she's talking about here, she does online translation, English to French. And, so her message, God, that it comes with great compassion, Father, that she walks in compassion, lives in compassion, that compassion draws her. That's what's so powerful about compassion. When you walk in compassion literally leads you because you get drawn. Jesus was drawn with compassion. He was driven. He was moved with compassion because compassion moves you. It guides you. It leads you. And so that's when we walk in compassion, we're led by the Lord. Jesus was moved. What he did and where he went, he was moved to go there because of compassion. And I thank you, Lord, for that compassion in Elaine, God, in Jesus' name. Open her up to that in a higher dimension. I'll let her see it, know it. Compassion loves people but hates evil. It hates evil. It hates sickness and disease. It hates, strife and contention. It hates rebellion. And it loves love, and it loves joy, and it loves peace, and it loves people. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Amen. 940-210, who am I talking to from, please?
Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael. All right, Michael, thank you, Lord, for giving Michael courage, God, to stand up in ways that he's never been able to stand up before. God, you give him courage to stand up and to face the things that he needs to face, to talk the things he needs to talk, and open up to the things he needs to open up to. In Jesus' name, that he'll be able to face the people he needs to face and speak the truth, take courage for himself. Even when we mess up something ourselves, we have to take courage to get it right. Right? It takes courage for me. There's times I've messed stuff up. It took me courage, me getting courage to go get it right. But getting it right was such a blessing. And it cleansed my heart, man. When I first got saved, one of the things God had me do was go back to people that I didn't take care of business with them and ask for forgiveness and tell them I'd try to fix it and all that kind of thing. It was hard, but they were shocked. They were like, what? So I would go back and I'd walk in their office and say, yeah, the time that I did this and didn't pay you, the full amount that I owed you, I still owe you money. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to try to work on that. I mean, they were flabbergasted. They went, what? It took courage for me to do that. I did not want to do it. It took courage. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Michael courage, God, to do the things that he knows he wants to do, that you enable him to do, that you're blessing him to do, so he can walk in your full blessing, God, in Jesus' name. hallelujah, where he doesn't miss, where he doesn't come short of one thing you called him to do or called him to be, Father, for lack of courage. Amen. Where fear tries to tell you, if you do this, you know, they're not going to like you. Who cares what they think? Who cares what they like? Who cares what, you know, it's what God is saying. We do what God says. And it takes courage to do that. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him courage, Father, to obey your voice in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 919-995, can I talk to her, Tom, please? All right, 919, are you there? That's Cheryl from wherever she's from. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. God, we thank you, Lord, for her, for the heart you've given her to get things to get things right, to live in a state of repentance. When we mess up something, we don't wait for somebody else to get it right. We get it right. We don't wait for other people to do the thing. We do the thing that God's called us to do. And we thank you, God, for opening that up for her, God, that she will obey you no matter what other people think. Other people think, oh, you can do that. It's okay. But you know it's not okay. You know it's not right. You know that, you know, God's telling you to do something different. God, you will show her and lead her and guide her. It's not about what other people think. It's about what God thinks, and that she cares more about what you think about her, Father, than anybody. She thinks more about what you think about her. She's not going to be a man-pleaser. Suck up, like, well, you know, now she's going to do what you say, Lord, what you give her to do. And she's going to give her that wisdom, God. Give her that understanding, God, that to obey you is better than sacrifice. Because if we don't obey you, we end up sacrificing. We sacrifice what? We sacrifice our relationship with God. We sacrifice, you know, we compromise, and we end up, you know, in wishing we hadn't done it and living in regret. So as we live in the spirit of repentance, repentance means you just simply get it right and move on and stay right and live in repentance. Every time I mess up something, if I'm living in repentance like I should be, then I repent of that. I say, God, you know, forgive me. I messed that up. I shouldn't have said that. I wish I hadn't done that. Please forgive me. Help me not do it again. You know, and that keeps me right with God. Keeps me, you know, not that I go to hell if I don't do it, but it's that I end up in a hellish situation with a lot of unusual pressure on my life, and that's unnecessary. So in Jesus' name, help open that up to her, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, 919. All right, Cheryl. All right, 781-775. You want to talk to Ruth, please?
Martine from California and Caleb from Colorado.
And Caleb?
Caleb from Colorado.
Caleb from Colorado. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Martine, Lord, and Caleb from Colorado. Thank you, Jesus, for Caleb. Father, I thank you, God, that you're calling on Caleb, God, to make things known, the person who makes things known, and to opens up the thing of making things known. You know, what's the real truth about this? Well, just ask Caleb. You know, what's going on with this? You're going to make Caleb know the truth about things. You're going to Caleb's going to know what the origin of things. You know, not what man made, what sin and devil made, but what God and the origin of things, the origin of what God says. Because the only thing we know what the origin of things is what God says. And when we do that, then we know that that's what's going, where we're going to have peace, that's where we're going to have happiness, that's where we're going to have joy. God, and I thank you that as Caleb goes back and looks at the origin of things, how God did things, how God made things, and how God is still making things, and so God still does things. When we have God, we're protected, we're kept, we're watched over. You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, anything because we're seeking first the kingdom of God and just righteousness. Righteousness means what's right. You know, what's the right way to do this? And if we get the wrong way, then the wrong way can bring us disturbance, peace, suicidal thoughts. You know, think where we just want to quit. We want to end our life. We want to move. You know, And I thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name, I take authority over all that. In Jesus' name, that the spirit of life, the spirit of everlasting life, will be in Caleb's life, God. He will love life and enjoy it, even when he's having troubles. God, that he will take it as a challenge, that life is a challenge, that he's called to live in a challenged world and enjoy it, thrills out of it, where he can be controversial, but controversial the right way, to set things right the right way. God, he can find himself in great peace and great happiness and great provision because of that, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. For Martine, thank you, Lord, for Martine, God, that Martine is opening up to you, Father, and her heart in Jesus' way, in Jesus' name, in ways that she's never known before or seen, that as she finds herself, you know, in a sense of being out of the water, out of the boat, in the storm, in a thing, walking on the water, learning how to walk on the water, learning how to walk in situations that she's not used to, learning how to take on new environments, new things. In other words, being brought into things she's not used to bring into, and she's going to find herself, you know, drawing on you in ways that she's never drawn on you. All the things you prepared to do now, Father, all that preparation was really one thing, and that was how to draw on God. How to draw on God. Peter learned how to draw on God. He knew Jesus knew that Peter knew that Jesus had told him, you know, whatever I'm doing, you can do it. So when he saw him walking the water, he's saying, I can do that because you said I could do it. It wasn't because he came up with that, because Jesus said that. So he learned how to, you know, put into action what God said. He learned how to draw on the things of God, draw on the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, and be able to be out of the normal circumstances, and even though it's hard and difficult and stormy and kind of crazy sometimes, God, you're causing Martine to learn how to step out of the boat and keep her eyes on Jesus, and whole thing is training us how to keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus, all things work out. We keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on the water. We can keep walking on the water. We don't have to fail. We don't have to. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you don't want her to fail. You want her to be successful. In Jesus' name, walking in the kingdom, walking in things that she knows not anything about. And she finds herself being able to function and move and live and have her being in God and prosper and be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. And know God in a way she's never known God before because she stepped out of the boat. Walking on the water, walking on the water. Walking on the water. Yeah. Ain't nothing like walking on the water. Because you know nothing's holding you up but Jesus. Nothing's holding you up but your faith in God. Nothing is holding you up. Just him. It's not a whim. It's him. All right, 234-327. Who am I talking to? Refund, please.
Mimi? Hello?
Where are you from, Mimi? What state?
Ohio.
Mimi from Ohio. Okay, thank you, Mimi. All right, thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for Mimi. Thank you, Lord, for setting her apart, God, and showing her that you set her apart. When you set somebody apart, that means they don't do the thing they used to do, right? Yeah, you can, but it means you're when you're called to be set apart, you're called to do a different thing. You can't just ask people, what do you think I should do? And we ask, maybe you ask God what you should do. And you ask God what you should do, then he shows you what he's called you to do. He's called you to be. You know, and when we're set apart by God, that means that we have to ask him. You know, he's our source. He's the one who made you. He's the one who created you. He's the one who put you in the earth. He's the one. And you start realizing who your creator is. He's your daddy now. If you're born again, when you're born again and of God, you know, God is now your father. And it's all about getting to know you've been set apart to know your father, to know his ways. And when you know the ways of God, that means you can function in the earth realm with blessing and prosperity. You can prosper in this earth. You know, I'm just talking about money. I'm talking about, you know, being happy and having life and loving people and having friends and being blessed because we know the ways of God. We know how life works. We know how to treat people because we know how Jesus would treat people. And when Jesus treated people, you know, he sometimes rebuked people pretty heavy when they were in rebellion against God and didn't like God. His father, he would rebuke them. And yet other people who hated him, he loved them. You know, he taught people. He shared his life with people. He loved people. And so I thank you, Lord, for opening up Mimi to that realm of God, knowing that when you set us apart, you call us to know you, that we can't depend on what people think about us and what being a man pleaser, but we're God pleasers because we've been set apart by God to know him. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Mimi. All right, thank you. All right. All right, 111, who am I talking to from, please?
Hello.
Yes, who am I talking to from, please?
Jeff and Yuki.
Hey, you guys got the 111 going on. All right. Cool, 111. All right, God bless you, Jeff and Yuki. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and you, God. I thank you for restoration, God. I thank you for the fullness of the fullness of times. God, that you have called Yuki together and Jeff together for the fullness of times because they're not afraid to step out of the boat, walk on the water. They're called to do that, Father, and I thank you, Jesus, for training them how to be water walkers in Jesus' name, how to, you know, other people stay in the boat, and it's like, okay, you're going to stay in the boat, we're getting out. Okay, we're getting off here. Bye. Now go on in the boat. You're fine. And learning how to let people go in the boat. Some people are just not going to get out of the boat. They're not going to do it. But when you're called to get out of the boat, get out of the boat. And when you, as you keep your eyes on the Lord, you know, he restores everything. He restores everything. Keeping our eyes, getting the eye of Jesus, getting the eye of the Lord is learning. It's all about focus. And in the eyes of the window of the soul. And so when we, wherever we have our focus is how we see life. You know, if we get our eyes on the storm, then we fall short, right? Because when you live in the realm of walking on the water, walking in the supernatural, walking in what, you know, other people can't do, won't do, because they're afraid, they're hanging onto the boat. But when you're called to walk on the water, you know, you either sink or you swim, and there's no in between, you know. And so finding out that there's no in between, when we get our eyes off the Lord, you know, fear hits us. It hits all of us because that whole realm is so big. It's like the giants. Man, if you're not fighting those giants with God, they're gonna swallow you up. That's why as we keep our eyes on the Lord, we don't get fear of the giants. Peter got fear of the big storm because he got his eye. The eye is the window. What was he looking out of? He started getting his eyes on. So as long as he had his eyes, the eyes, the windows of his soul, the windows, the way he sees things, the way he looks at the world, the way he looks at, you know, how to walk in the supernatural, live in the supernatural. And I think it worked for Jeff and you that as they learn to walk, that they're called to that. And sometimes just like, you know, multi-billionaires, they can lose, you know, a couple of billion, they know how to get it right back. And so it's not a big deal. We don't get shame and guilt on it. We keep trusting. We keep our eyes on you. And, God, you can restore those things. It's about restoration, that you're restoring, rebuilding, remaking, redoing. And it's all – we keep our eyes on the Creator, and he's always creating something. It's never, oh, wait a minute. No, we don't have any of that. Sorry. No, God says, oh, you need some of that? Okay, we'll create it. We'll make it. You know why? Because we look at things in through the perspective of like Jesus did, that nothing is impossible. All things are possible to those who look at that way. And so I thank you, Lord, as they eat the bread and drink the blood, Jesus, and they partake of your DNA and who you are, Lord, that DNA causes them to think like you, to look at life like you do, to look at giants like you do. Knowing that, you know, that is nothing. It's like a flicking a fly off, flicking a mosquito off, you know, mosquitoes when you're in the spirit and when you got your eyes on the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for that spirit of restoration for them, God. In Jesus' name, open them up to that place. You're going to totally restore and rebuild. And just like I said, just, you know, even at times when you walk in the supernatural realm, you can lose a lot quick and you can gain a hundredfold back in no time because we live in that place of walking on the water, you know. Yeah, sometimes there's losses. Peter sunk a little bit, but you know what, he ended up preaching at the day of Pentecost and walking on water in the spirit realm. And because that's what he was called to do. And not everybody was called to do that. So I thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Show him how to do it. And not look at things like, oh, no, you know, no. Because we serve a God of miracles, of restoring, instantaneous. Amen. Because he wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. We just got to see it that way. Amen. All right. 111, another 111 going on here. All right, hang on a second. All right, 111, are you there? I think I got you now. Another 111. Hello, 111. This is Jeff and you again, and another 111. Hello, 111. You have to unmute your phone or something. I don't know. All right. I don't know who that is. Give me a second. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. All right, 111. Did I already get you? 111? Just 111? I don't know who this is. We'll pray for you anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this 111 number. Thank you, Jesus, for dividing the spoils, God, that you're teaching them that you want them to learn how to divide the spoils. You give to God what belongs to God. You give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And God's going to bless you. Amen. He'll give you what belongs to you. And I thank you, Jesus, that this whole realm of the business that we talked about earlier in the show on the teachings about the businessman part of God is different than the shepherd of God. It's different, a whole different person, a whole different thing. All right, thank you, Lord, for this person. Thank you, Lord, that you give them the income. God, you're going to bring them some income. Bring their income. Increase their income. Cause their income to come in. Cause it to increase, God. Cause it to come, that they will call it forth. Not just out of nothing, they will call it forth out of their giving to God. When they give to God, they know that they can call on God and call forth in those blessings because they've given to God what belongs to God, and therefore God gives to them what belongs to them. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening them up to the whole dimension of the businessman of God. It's different from the compassionate, loving Jesus who gives us all our stuff, but we have things God's given us and he expects us to increase and multiply it, and we don't do it. He just takes it away from us and gives it to somebody else. And go, oh, poor baby. Right, so as we learn that, as I'm learning that, as we're all learning that it's different than the compassionate shepherd part of Jesus. He's a businessman also, and we thank you, Lord, that he deals with things in a completely different way. And when you understand that part of him, you understand how miraculous it is and how amazing it is. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, 919-995, can I talk to you from, please? Hello, 919-995. Yeah, Cheryl, this is you. I know this is Cheryl. There were two or three different Cheryls, but I already prayed for you. Go back and listen to the archive. I realized who it was, so I already prayed over you, Cheryl, so go back and listen to the archive, okay? If you're not going to tell me what's going on or text me, then that's all I'm going to do to tell you. I've already prayed over you, okay? Awesome. Gotcha. Bye. All right. On Wednesdays, if you don't answer your phone, I just pray for you. Sometimes I know who you are. Sometimes I don't. All right. But I just pray for you anyway. All right. That's kind of how we do it. Okay. Carl needed prayer for his mouth. He's not able to eat but soap. Anything but soup. Oh, that's not good. So we pray for Charles's mouth tonight, God. We just think, I didn't see that text, so thank you. I didn't see your text, sorry. So thank you, Lord, for that covenant blessing that Charles, we just ask you to, whatever's going through his mouth, we curse that thing in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless his mouth. God, so you cleanse his mouth, wash his mouth, heal his mouth. So he can eat, God, what he needs to eat and be a blessing with what needs to be a blessing with. In Jesus' name, so he'll be healthy and whole in the name of the Lord and be protected and kept. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let him be blessed, Father, by the power of the blood and the Holy Spirit. Let fire come out of his mouth, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 912-339, who I talk to, respond, please.
Hi, Prophet Randy, Angela Joy from Georgia.
Hey, Angela. Yeah, all right, good to have you. All right, Angela Joy from Georgia. All right, thank you, Lord, for Angela Joy. Thank you, God, for muting, you know, God showing you how to gag the enemy, gag his mouth, mute the enemy. You know, sometimes in order to, you know, to stop the enemy, we have to gag him in somebody's life. Like he likes to pray prayer, let God gag the enemy in my child's life, he can hear the voice of God. And sometimes, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for showing her how that we can bind and gag, if you will, the tongue of the enemy. Every tongue that rises against our, you know, like my child or whatever, from being influenced by the enemy, where gag the voice of the enemy, where you can't speak to them. Thank you, Lord, for that power of binding and loosening, in Jesus' name, where we loosen the voice of God, we gag the enemy, where he cannot speak to them and keep them occupied with fear and keep them occupied with, you know, thinking all the wrong thoughts and keep occupied with, you know, trying to make money and make a living instead of serving Jesus. And that Jesus, who's already made the living for us, just do it. And thank you, Lord, for that whole thing of gagging the enemy in Jesus' name, where the voice of God can come in and literally resuscitate them by his breath, by his fire, by his love, by the voice, by the breath of God, the Ruach of God, the Ruach in Jesus' name. I just speak the Ruach of God, Father, over those that need to hear the voice of God in Jesus' name, that you will breathe the breath of, breathe the words, breathe your love into them, breathe into them, Jesus, breathe into their nostrils, God, the breath of life. In Jesus' name, breathe into them, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And also the whole strategy of you know, where Elijah told the king to hit the, you know, hit the earth with what, his arrow or something like that, you know, and he only did it about three times. He should have done it five. And so there's something about that to, I don't know that scripture in Kings, I think somewhere, but he told the king to, you know, take his arrow and hit the ground, hit the floor, whatever it was, so many times for the victory. And so I thank you, Lord, that whatever that has to do with you, I'm not sure exactly, but open up that in Jesus' name for full victory, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Show her how to, you know, fullness, do it all the way, do it to it's completed so the victory is complete. That's what Elijah told the king. He said, because you didn't do it completely, the victory's not going to be complete. It's only going to be partial. We thank you, Lord, that the angel of joy got to teach her how to enter into that complete work of Christ, that we learn how to strike the ground, if you will. And, yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, for the victory, for the victory. All right. All right, 903-808, I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Hey, this is Jeannie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right. Good timing. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. She's a Texas girl. Thank you, Jesus, for Texas. Thank you, Lord, for the Texas realm, God. Thank you for the blessing on Texas, God, that you're going to cause Texas to feed the nations, to feed the world, as well as other states, to govern. You're going to raise up governors, govern, who know how to govern over animals, you know, govern over, like, you know, the Texas rancher who had the red peppers, you know, to bring provision to the globe, to bring provision to the world. And I thank you, Lord, for building her faith up, God, in that whole realm of worship and worshiping and singing and creating an atmosphere of so that God can move in and govern the earth through the atmosphere of worship. God needs a flesh and blood human being. That's why Jesus had to be born of flesh and blood. When he told Nicodemus, those who see the kingdom are people who are born of women. In other words, are human beings, flesh and blood human beings, and then born of the Spirit. And when they have both those things going on, and they're born of the Spirit, then they will see the kingdom. They will, out of their worship, out of their you know, speaking the word, creating an environment so that the kingdom of God can come and dwell, that they were open up the heavens, Lord, that open heaven thing. I remember seeing this a long time ago with you. I don't remember when I gave it to you, but I saw some land and property and some trees. I remember exactly what it was, but I saw that property being a place where it had an open heaven where God, you know, opened up the heavens. You remember that? I don't remember what that was, but it just came to me all of a sudden. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, and that and that the blessing of God comes, you know, when people step on that property. It's like they step in, go into a revival, and you step within, you know, like Ruth, whatever her name was, Edder, whatever her name was, that lady, and you got certain feet within her environment. People got slain in the spirit. they would just get right with God. They would get healed, whatever it was. And I thank you, Lord, for that with Jeannie, God, that you called her that. There's something about that with her. And I thank you, Lord, for opening it up for her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Create an environment where the kingdom of God, where an open heaven can come and God can do whatever he wants to. He wants to love people. He wants to touch people. He wants to take sinners and make them into some horrible sinners that have a worthless life, that hate God, to loving Jesus and getting knocked off their horse and getting words from God and getting blessed and becoming apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And hallelujah. Open that up, God. Open that heavenly realm. In Jesus' name, show her part and how she is her flesh and blood body in the temple of God, that she is a temple of God, to create an environment so that can actually, so heaven and earth can come together in the environment around her, Father, and her that property and all that, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, well, don't have the hand up. If they don't go, it's only 11:20. And believe me, I will take off early. It doesn't hurt my feelings. When I'm done, I'll be done. All right, got one up here, 863-808. You want to talk through some, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl. All right, Cheryl from Florida, good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord, for that whole sanctified walk with God, sanctified, set apart. So when we actually sanctify and set ourselves apart unto God, you know, he sanctifies us too, but when we sanctify ourselves and we come into agreement with his, that he's called us and chosen, we have to do it. He can call and he can call us and choose us, and in his mind and heart we're set apart, but we have to do it in our heart and mind. And I thank you, Lord, as Cheryl already knows that, you sanctify, you show her how to set herself apart, God, for you, in Jesus' name, so that as we do that, all we're doing is coming in agreement with the fact that God Almighty has already done that. What's there bound on the earth is bound in heaven. What's loose on the earth is loose in heaven. You know, what's sanctified in the earth is already sanctified in heaven, God, and that sanctification comes to where people are being set apart for the use of God, being set apart for the things of God, being set apart. You know, and I thank you, Lord, that all this stuff that's gone on with her father and waiting on him and working with him and nurturing him and doctoring him and whatever she did, nursing him, and she's like, taking care of him. God, that was a lot of training involved there, Father, and how to serve and how to, you know, he who becomes servant of all becomes the greatest of all. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole realm of servanthood, Father, with her, that you turn that into a spiritual dimension of being sanctified and set apart to serve, to wash the feet, God, and those who do it right, do it God's way, become great. They become great. Why? Because they're great at letting God use them. It's about being great at being sanctified, set apart for God's use, and becoming available in Jesus' name, hallelujah, where he can serve through. And when God serves through us, you know, we become the servants who learn how to let him serve. What does he serve through you? He can serve anything he wants to. He's not limited. He can serve anything he wants. If he wants to serve miracles, he'll serve miracles. If he wants to multiply food, he'll multiply food. If he wants to cast out a devil, he'll cast out whatever he wants to serve. A true great servant is somebody who God can serve whatever he wants to serve through them. Amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 334-590. Who am I talking to, please?
Hi, it's Jayla.
Jayla, you're supposed to say where you're from. Jayla, where you from?
New York.
All right, good job. Ah, gotcha. That's funny. I love it. All right, thank you, Jayla. We just bless you and love you, and thank you, Lord, for God, so that for the end of things. You know, you do things, and then things come to an end, and then we have a new beginning. I thank you, Lord, that she's coming to the end of some things, because you're about to do a new beginning with her, God, in Jesus' name. But we bring things to an end. Paul the Apostle said, I forget those things that are behind me and move forward, right? You know, he forgets those things. And so in order to forget them, you know, God helps us deal with them. We forget them, and they come to an end, and then we move on. And I thank you, Lord, that she's at the end of those places. Yes, she's at the end. That brokenness, that yieldedness, God. It's all the things that go on in our life, the pain, the suffering, and then we bring it to Jesus, and God takes that brokenness and that stuff, and he uses it to create a yieldedness in us that we know that we can't do anything without him. We've got to have Jesus. We've got to have God. There's no way anything can be done to make God happy unless he does it, unless I'm doing it with him, and he's doing it through me. And that means he produces yielded servants. And when you're a yielded servant, that means that you will do whatever he says, whenever he says it. Because God says they gave dominion to man. So God himself cannot take over your life and do it. You have to yield it to him. So all the work, all the broken, all the suffering that we go through, and God heals that and starts dealing with that and helping us, that brokenness becomes a place of yieldedness. And when we yield to him, God can do anything he wants to through us. Hallelujah. That yieldedness creates that bond of knowing that he can trust you, that you will not do your own thing. You will do Jesus. Jesus at times was tempted to do, or all tempted to want to do things differently. Jesus was too. He said, Father, you know, I got some really great ideas, but, you know, can this cup pass from me? But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that's why he trusted Jesus with everything. He gave him all glory and all power and all authority, because even though he was tempted, he didn't yield to it. He said, Father, you know, I'll do what you want. What do you want to do? Because he was so yielded, he was 100% yielded. Even when he knew he had some great ideas to do some great things, he said, God, show me, what do you want to do? That's what I want to do. And God says, because of that, Jesus, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase you and multiply you. You're going to share in all my glory. You're going to rule and reign with me in heavenly places. All right, because God could trust him. And I thank you, Jesus. Everything you're doing and Jayla, God, is that you can trust her and she can trust you. You can trust her and she can trust you. Amen. She can trust you and you can trust her. It's about trust. Amen. All right. And thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else want to get mentioned to tonight? If you don't, I'm going to call it a night. It's only 11:25. I love this. You know, I can keep going, but whatever. Don't have to. I work less and make more. I don't really make anything, but, you know, I work less, you know, get blessed more by God using me more and more and more. But I can work less, too, no doubt about it. I've learned that blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, Jeannie said she called me. It was 11:11. No way. That is awesome. Amen. I love it. Yeah, she says, Jeannie says, God is always speaking in numbers. Okay, Valerie. Yes. Are you on, Valerie? Oh, there you are. Okay, Valerie, I got you. Are you there, right? Hello? I know it's Valerie because she just texted me. Yes, okay, Valerie. Thank you, Lord, for Valerie tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for you know, that you are with her at all times. God, you're showing, you want to open up Valor to this thing that I'm with you always. I'm not just with you when you're praying. I'm not just with you when you're thinking about me. I'm with you when you're not thinking about me. You don't have to think about me every second to be with me every second. You know, you can have two people riding in a car, right? And be just talking and yakking with each other, and then all of a sudden the car gets quiet, and you drift off into somewhere else, and they drift off somewhere else, but you're still together, right? So there's something about that. God wants to really break down those walls of thinking that if you're not in a certain mode, or you're not feeling right, if you're not really focusing just on Him at that moment, that He's not with you. No, He's with you at all ways, all times, at all seasons, in every way. He wants to make you aware of that, because when you're aware that He is with you, you don't fear anything. You don't fear evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you know, even though you're not, quote, thinking about Him and, quote, meditating on Him, so to speak, that He's not with you. He's always with you. You know, sometimes you get into heavy conversation with a loved one, you know, sitting there in the same chair even, and then all of a sudden you communicate out and you both go somewhere else. It's not like they've left you. They're somewhere else now. No, they're right there with you and available and right there, and they're right there with you. Their presence is right there. But, you know, so thank you, Jesus, that you opened her up, God, to that you're with her, God. You're with her. You're always with her in Jesus' name. And she's never left. She's never forsaken. She's never left behind. God, that you are right there with her at all times, even when she doesn't feel you and she's not, quote, thinking about you, God, that you are right there. You never leave her. You never forsake her. Never. Not ever. Doesn't that? Not at night. Not when things are going wrong, when things are not perfect. Thank you, Jesus, that we just thank you, Lord, that blessing. You're breaking bread with her, God, in Jesus' name, and opening up her mind that I am always with you. You never have to fear. Never. Never have to fear. I'm with you. All you do is just open your mouth and say, oh, hey. And he goes, yes. Thank you, Lord, that you attend to her, that you're breaking this thing in her life, God, that you don't, that you're not attend, you only attend to her, you know, when she cries out and she's, you know, so you attend to her at all times. You're with her when she needs you. You're with her when she's not, quote, doesn't necessarily absolutely have to have you at that moment. You're with her at all times. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, that you're with her. God with you. Christ with you, God, Emmanuel, God with you, God with us. Lord, I thank you for letting her see, letting her realize that more and more and more. I know she already knows it. Let her see it more. Let her see it deeper. Let her see it, how real, actual real that is. That's why you died on the cross and went, ascended to the Father, so you could be with us personally in the Spirit. Even when you come back, Valerie, when He comes back, and rules and reigns in Jerusalem. You know, we're going to be here, and you're going to be probably living where you're living. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a house and a home in Jerusalem and Israel and a home here too. I'm not sure what's going to be with that. But either way, I can't. I won't be able to be with Him all the time, but I'm going to feel His presence. I'm going to know He's with me. I'm going to feel like the Holy Spirit's going to be, you know, talking to me like Jesus would be talking to me. Yeah, and I thank the Lord for opening her up to that, God, in Jesus' name, that I'm always, lo, I am always with you, always with you. Always loving you, always protecting you, always keeping, always watching over you. Amen. Like He watches you when you sleep at night. He sits there and looks at you because He doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He sits there and looks at you, and He just loves the way you look when you're sleeping. He just watches you. He's watching you. He loves you. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for opening her up to that in a brand new level, God. Let her eat the bread of Jesus to see Him for who He really is. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. If I miss your text tonight, let me know. Kind of. All right. I think that's it for tonight, as far as I can see. It's 11:34. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I guess I'm going to call tonight if nobody else raises their hand. We're here to serve. We're here to be a blessing. And hopefully we will be to you. Amen. God's grace. Give me just a moment. We'll be right back and check and see if anybody else has their hand up. And maybe I'll minister to them. If not, I'm going to end the show. All right, I guess that's it for tonight. Thank you very much. God bless everybody. I think it's all right. Let me pray for everyone. Hallelujah. All right, we're here to serve, so when there's somebody to serve, we go bye-bye. All right, thank you, everybody. Sleep well.